first thing we're going to do is we're going to... Okay, good. We're going to go into bringing up a page and putting it on the web. Okay? So, hopefully you have with you, or on the T drive with you, an HTML page that you wrote at some point. Okay? It could be the Hello World type thing that you did the first day. But we need to have a page. So we are going to go into WinSCP. So you're going to click on WinSCP. Now, mine is different from yours. You have an option out here that says New Site and another option that says CIS Web, right?
Yes.
You are only, you can use one or the other. I only have New Site, so I'm going to show you how to do it with New Site. If you have CIS Web and you click on that, you will see that it puts the host name in here for you. cisweb.bristolcc.edu. It puts the host name in there. But it doesn't let you enter anything in the username or password unless you click on the edit button below. You have to click on the edit button below to enter the username or password. I only have the new CIS Web. So I am going to go in and put in the host name, which is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay, so my host name is the host is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. So if you click on New Site, then you need to enter over here under host name cisweb.bristolcc.edu. If you click on CIS Web underneath New Site, and I don't have that, but you do, then it will put in the cisweb.bristolcc.edu. So either way, you're going to get bristolcc.edu. Now, if you do it my way with the new site, you then enter your username or password. If you did it with CIS Web, it's not going to let you enter your username or password unless you click the edit button. And the edit button is down here where you see my save button. Okay? So if you click the edit button, then you get to enter it in.
Where do I get the client for this?
What client?
NSCP.
The only thing you're worrying about is that you're going to use the CIS Web Bristol CCEDU server.
Well, the thing is that I don't have CIS Web on my laptop.
But you're connecting to it the WinSCP. I can do this at home, too.
I'm very confused as to how to do this.
You just type in CIS Web in the browser.
Just trust me for a minute and do it. And then you'll see magic will happen. Okay, you're on the web. The web can follow the address of cisweb.bristolcc.edu. That is what the browser follows, that address, and it goes to Bristol, and it goes specifically to our server called CIS Web. So we have a CIS Web server at bristolcc.edu. So that host is telling us, is telling the browser, the host is Bristol. And specifically, it's the CIS Web server at Bristol. Okay? So then, once you've got into the host, it needs to know who you are. So you type in your username and password to tell who you are. And for me, my username is just P. Grossa. Your username is got a number after it. So you're going to type in the name and the number. And then my password is my password. And you have a password, too. If you don't have your password, Carolyn has the piece of paper right now with passwords on it. So ask her to come over and she can give you your password. So I'm typing in the host, my username, and my password. What don't you understand?
I'm not finding a way to download the client to get into the thing on is a Pay the Thing Exists page.
You're not, unless you download WinSCP.
Yeah, where do I get WinSCP?
You can go on the web and get it. But why don't you do it on our computer for now and not go through the whole download bit on it, okay? WinSCP is free. And you can go and download WinSCP. WinSCP is the one we use here, so I recommend it. But there's a whole lot of things you can download that will allow you to get access to the web. It's just WinSCP is the one we use at the college, so it makes sense for you to use the same one we're using, and then we're all in sync. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Your keyboard's not working?
Try jiggling the cable.
And everything is plugged in.
I can't find what I made.
Okay. If you chose CIS Web, then you need to hit edit to allow you to type in the username and password. If you chose new site, then you have to type in the host name and you can type in the username and password. The difference is somebody apparently wrote a script and they put it up there, called it CIS Web. And so if you hit that, it fills in the host for you, but then it makes you hit edit, type the username and password. Okay. Okay. Anybody need a username and password? Yeah.
I'm this part. No,
I think you're a step behind. Okay, so I want to double check here what he's done.
Totally thought.
It's case sensitive, folks. So you need to be case sensitive. Okay, is everybody in?
Yes.
Okay. Nope. Still logging into this computer.
Maybe half an hour from now. Okay, then just pay attention for now and watch what he's doing. Okay, so now I'm hitting login. And with a little bit of luck, I'm going to log in. I hit continue when it asks me about that, and I'm in. Okay, so now what you see is this is your computer over here. This is your computer. This is the BCC CIS web server. Here's the server. And that's what we just found by doing the host and saying that the host was the BCC CIS web server. So we're now at the CIS web server. What we have to do now is go into public HTML. So we're going to click on public HTML. And when you get into public HTML, I've got a gazillion things on mine. You should have pretty much nothing on yours. I think they may have put an index there or something. But I have a gazillion things on mine because I keep a lot of stuff on here. Okay, so now what we can do is we can find a file and drag it over. So if I go over here to the T drive, okay, I'm going to go to the T drive, and hopefully you'll find something on the T drive that you did, and we can drag it over.
What if it's not ours? Yeah.
That's fine. Steal it.
Right. First IT professor ever that advocated piracy.
Wait, what did you want us to drag over?
Something that says .html. And if you have something in your flash drive, then change this to your flash drive and you can get it. But I want you to just drag something up there. So if you're sitting at a computer and there's something with a .html, drag it up, okay? Hopefully it's yours. If not, it's hopefully something that you can recognize.
This?
And hopefully it's not,
so
not Luke-ware, not
supposed to take the
Luke-ware,
not. .html, put it in my drive.
Yeah, I almost Luke-ware, not. Joke's gone.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go look for something that has HTML on it. So I'm going to look for first F2015. Let's see if I already have that over here. No, I don't. So I'm going to drag first F2015, and I'm just dragging it across and dropping it. And there it is. Okay? So I just drag this over. I'm taking first, and I just dragged it over. For some reason, okay? So I'm dragging that over, and maybe it will let me eventually draw. Nope. It does not want me to draw. So, I am just dragging it over, and if you look, you can see it's there. First F2015. Okay, so I dragged something over. Is everybody with me? Did they find HTML and drag it over? You're not. You didn't find anything?
My password.
Password for what?
The
CIS web. Okay, come on up. Bring a paper and pencil. Oh, no, I guess. Carolyn, do you have it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do never have it.
You don't have a password?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yep. I saw it earlier. I just started.
Yep.
I was in my class.
So we made the wrong password for you.
Yeah.
You can type it right. And Carolyn, when you get a chance.
Just make intro to HTML. We got a signed a. And we got a. We got an assignment to basically make a HTML file containing a very, very brief resume. Not just like name, picture. They should have a name, picture, a grid, a table. Ordered and unordered list in the length. And then she suggested we use
the image. Without the hyperlink, without the error.
So when you forward the image in, she wants the image source.
Who are you?
But you should also have a link in there. So
you're going to have to go into the help desk and try to get that to he's got a password issue.
Okay, so everybody now that can get in
has got something over there now? You're all set? Okay. Okay, so I am now going to show you. Okay, my turn, guys. So, I am going to bring up my browser. And on the browser, I'm going to put a path. So I've got cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Then I'm going to put a slash, and we'll put it in the browser in a minute, but I want to show you what I'm putting there. Then I'm going to put a slash, and I'm going to put who I am. And I precede that with a tilde. And the tilde is that little curly thing right under the escape. So I put the tilde there. And then I type my username. So my username is Pete Grosser. Your username is whatever your username is. And then I want to retrieve the file called firstf2015.html. So I write the file name. So what I've got here is I've got host/tilde username/ the name of the file that I want to get. Okay? So I'm going to take that. And I'm going to go into the browser. And I am going to copy this right here. Okay, so I'm putting that right into the browser. I hit enter, and there's the page. Okay. So now my page is up on the web, and it's available worldwide. Anybody that has your address can now see the page.
That's cool.
Okay.
What do you say? That's cool.
So, you now have a web page, or one that you borrowed, up on the website. I cleaned up the wood. It's now borrowed. Okay. So, you now have a web page out on the web. Okay? Questions? Has everybody got their web page up?
Oh, yes.
Huh? Well, somebody said what? Somebody said I'm lost. Was it you? Okay, I don't know. Questions?
How do I post it again?
It's that address up there. What do you mean post it again? You're going to write... Yeah, you're going to write cisweb.bristolcc.edu/tilde. And then your username. Slash is the name of the file you dragged over.
What? Symbol or tilde symbol or the word tilde?
Yeah, say it.
The symbol.
Far left.
And then you're going to copy that into the address on the browser. So...
Yeah, I always thought it was tilde, but I've heard it every time today. Tilde. Sometimes it's shattered. That almost shuts off all the lectures. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah, I've got it. Just all the
time. Nice. Cool. That's awesome.
So basically, so long as you go step by step on everything there, you'll get an A there. But there's a lot of that.
Oh, did you see right in the game?
So today.
Exactly.
So
how you see?
Maybe later in the semester we'll do it because we're experimenting. So we're experimenting with models, we're experimenting with how we're going to do things. We're going to be doing membership and fundraising for our service and stuff. So I might be able to jump in on anything. We're trying to get some money in April.
get to Texas.
Yep.
That's awesome. I made a video game music for you. It's going before I came here. I was going to start submitting.
Please hold on to the
What's up?
That's what I thought. What's your number?
65.
Yeah. And then slash, what, practice, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, then not bless. Burn. Burn for whatever.
For 3 days.
Yeah, I did it. I
figured it out. Right? I just probably want to use it.
Yeah.
Well,
my bird. How long
do
you
say?
That ending.
Yeah,
that ending.
Oh, yeah. Captain.
Yeah, I don't know why. I've got on my list, you've got you as R, Rodriguez. That's what you are on my list. Well, they've got you as Roman Rodriguez.
I really like the
Pardon me? Okay. Or Andrew. I don't have an Andrew Rodriguez. Wait a minute. Maybe she has the wrong list. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I can't.
I just
looked
out.
Okay, yep, I found your gear. I don't know why you're being forbidden, but I'll go and try to find out.
Forbidden, that is so foreboding.
Huh?
Huh?
No, I just was looking for a list. And it was 55. But I suspect that's longer than I would have right now, so I'll figure that out at class. It has to be inside public HTML. Your page has to be inside. Oh, that's fine.
Secretly, I've been debating with Keyblade.
You're welcome.
You'll get the English classics at best.
I know, but
always
okay. Quiet, please. Let me go point out a few more things. If you want to create a folder, which you may decide you'd like to have, you can come up here and do files, and then new, and then directory. File, new directory will let you create a folder. So file, new directory lets you create a folder. And so I can make this folder and call it fall, or whatever I want to call it. Okay, so I'm going to call it fall. And then I'm going to say okay, and it's going to hopefully create the folder called fall. But I made a mistake. I didn't check to see which side I was active on. Notice that this side is highlighted and this side is not. So fall went in over there. That's not where I wanted it. I have to click over here to highlight the server side. So I have to click on the server side to highlight it. And then it knows when I create a file, I want to create it on the server side. So you have to check whichever side is highlighted is the active side. And if I click here now, and I go and I say file, new directory, and I type fall, it is now creating fall on this side. So there is fall right there. So now I'm going to put my page over on fall. So I'm putting my page in the fall directory.
Our first HTML or whatever.
Whatever you want.
So the whole
it's now in the fall directory.
Gotcha.
The whole folder or just the HTML file?
Just the HTML file. I put the HTML file in the fall directory. I put another copy, actually. I just put another copy up there in the fall directory.
So
if you want a directory, you can just create a directory and put stuff in it. Yeah.
So theoretically, so what will happen to the image I have in there?
Depends on whether you move it or not.
Okay, so exactly what I want to know. I gotcha.
Okay, so now I'm in the fall directory, so I have to put that in my address. So it knows that I need to go to my website, and then I need to go to the fall directory in order to find the page. So if I'm putting it in a directory, the directory has to become part of the address. So it knows that I should go to this host, go to this user's area, look for this directory or folder in the user area, and then I'll find the page. Okay? So if I copy and paste this address into my, well, I don't have to copy and paste, I just have to have fall. Whoops.
You're putting your name in there.
And then I hit enter. I hit refresh. It now, well, actually, it didn't. Apparently, I took it away. Fall. And now it's in the fall directory. So I'm now in fall 2015. And there's the address up there. It's more readable. Okay? So I've now got in the fall directory. So if you want to create directories, you can. They're definitely not a requirement. It's your choice. But if you want to organize your stuff in directories, like you do on your hard drive, then this lets you do that. Yeah.
So it has to be in order. You couldn't put your first 2015.html. That always has to go last.
Yeah, yeah. Because what you're saying here is, quiet please, what you're saying here is go to this host. Once you're at the host, go to the area reserved for Pete Grosser, or you, depending on who's doing it. Then go to this directory within the area. Then go to the file. So I'm at CIS Web, then I go to Pete Grosser, then I go to the directory fall, and then I go in. Now notice it says home in HTML, public HTML up there. Those are really not part of the path. The tilde takes care of it. We know you have to go into public HTML, and the tilde takes care of getting to the home for a pgrocer. So you don't put those in. You just use the tilde, yeah.
Out of purely academic curiosity, could I theoretically put in the public and all that good stuff? It just takes more work, or it just won't work?
Won't work.
Okay.
Now, if you took out the tilde, I'm sure there's a way to do it. I don't honestly know.
Okay.
Okay. Questions? Yes.
So I did the folder thing, and I try and I put it in, and I'm getting a 404.
Whoopsie.
Not
that. Yeah, I'm getting a 404.
Any other questions? Okay. Charlotte is taking. Carolyn is taking a look at that. Okay, we are done with HTML for now. Toward the end of the semester, we will go and start a portfolio, and we will start and look at HTML again. But for now, we're done with HTML. That's the thing about this class. It moves fast, and it covers a lot of stuff. So basically, if you don't stay up, it's a problem. So stay up. Stay with me. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to go to Access, and we're going to start looking at a database. So we're going to go to Access. So, if you come in, we are going to go, and I can go to Microsoft Office 2013. And pick Access 2013. Okay? So we're going in under Microsoft Office 2013, and we're picking Access 2013.
Do you have to go in from Office?
If you can find it someplace else, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay. But the place it is here is under Microsoft 2013, Access 2013. It may be showing up on your computer because it's already been used in a different spot. But if you can't find it anyplace else, go to Microsoft Office 2013 and then Access 2013. Okay? So, I'm going to Microsoft Office, or if it's here just sitting waiting for you, that's fine. You can use that. Okay, but all programs, then Microsoft Office, and then Access 2013. Okay, so it's now open. Okay, at that point, what we're doing is we're looking at a database. A database is just what it is, says it is. It's a collection of data. Okay, a database is a collection of data. And in the world, you have to have data all of the time. If you're in a company, you may have inventory. You may have payroll. If you're in games, you need to keep scores. You need to keep track of where the person is in the game. So no matter what you're in, if you're working with computers, you gotta keep data. Okay? If you don't keep data, it's hopeless. So you gotta keep data so you don't have to keep re-entering information. So a database is the way that we keep data. And a database is made up of tables. And each table holds different kinds of data. So for example, if you were doing payroll, you might have a database of all, a table of all your employees. And then you might have a table of all the checks you've sent, so that you keep track of all of the checks you've sent out to these employees. Okay? So a database can have multiple tables. Right now, we're only going to look at one table. So I'm going to go in here to blank desktop database and click on that. So I'm clicking on blank desktop database. Hello.
Hi.
Cute. Okay. So, now this comes up. The key thing here is to choose the name for the database now. And choose where you're going to store it now. Because it's a pain in the neck if you don't. Okay. So, I'm going to call this Fall 15. Okay, so I'm giving it a name of Fall 15. Currently it's going to the T drive. I don't really want it to go to the T drive, so I'm going to click on the little folder thing here, and I'm going to send it to my F drive. So I'm sending it to my F drive. So if you have a flash drive, I would do that. I would click on it and I would send it to your flash drive as opposed to storing it on the T drive. Okay, so I have now said I'm going to put it here and I'm clicking OK. And now it's changed and I've got F there. So it is now going to put it on the root of my F drive. Obviously, I could have put a picked a directory and put it in the directory if I'd wanted to. But I'm putting it on the root of the F drive. So I've now got it named, okay guys, Fall 15 ACCDB and the F drive. And so I'm going to click on Create. Okay. So I am now creating a table. And there I am in my create. Now, Akya.
Is this a permanent thing that we're doing right now? I don't have my flash drive on me today.
No, you can recreate it. I mean, it would be nice if you had a copy of it for other days, because I'm going to look at it other days.
So theoretically,
but it's going to go out on my computer so you can create it tomorrow if you want to. Okay, or you can sit in that seat and then the head.
So theoretically, could you say, like, just throw it on the CIS web that we just used?
Yes. You could throw it up there or you can email it to yourself. Yeah. But don't throw it up there to use it. Just throw it up there when you're done. For now, let's keep it down here inside to use. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I don't like this particular way of designing it. So I'm coming over here, and right under the word file, there is a thing that says view. And I'm going to take, I want the design view. I want to pick design view. So I'm clicking on design view. Okay, it's under file, and I'm clicked on the little downward arrow, and I've got design view. There was also the icon for design view, so you can do either one. But I want the design view, which shows a bunch of tools. I'm going to call this Stew 15. So the name of this table is going to be called Stew 15, as opposed to Table 1. I was going to call it Table 1. I decided I liked another name better. So I'm calling it Stew 15.
Should we name it what?
Whatever you want to name it. Or if you want to stay in sync with me, name it Stew 15. Okay? I'm naming it Stew 15, S-T-U 15. Okay, and so I'm clicking OK now, and now I've got the table. And notice the name comes up over here, Table Stew 15. It doesn't matter whether you name it exactly what I'm naming it or anything, and I realize it's hard to view. So I'm trying to say it fairly distinctly. And you can look at it, and you can also take a look at it at home. Now, Microsoft, because it's Microsoft, has decided that my first field name clearly should be ID, and clearly it should be an auto number. And me being me, I don't want that. So, I'm going to change the field name to ID number. And I'm going to change the auto number to short text. Now let me explain what I've done here.
Is that an underscore then there, or is there not? Is there an underscore or space?
Where?
You're doing short text.
I have no idea. I think it's a space, but I'm picking it, I'm not writing it.
Oh, hello.
Okay, yep. I'm writing, picking it. Okay, so now what I've got is, this is a field. And I have said, okay guys, I have said I want to create a structure of what this table is going to look like. This table is going to have a lot of records on it because I'm going to keep a lot of student records on it. Every record will start out with an ID number. And short text, meaning characters. Any kind of characters. Now, it has said that the field size is 255. There's no way I want 255 characters for an ID. So I'm coming down here and changing that to 5. So I have now said the first field is going to be an ID number. It's going to be a short text field, meaning 255 or below. Long text is more than 255. So it's going to be a short text field, and I've changed the field size to 5. Okay? So now I decide, okay, now what else do I want to keep? What other information do I want to keep? Well, I've decided I want a student name. So I'm going to call it Stu Name, S-T-U-N-A-M-E. And that's also going to be a short text field. And I've decided that 30 characters is enough. If you don't think 30 characters is enough, make it 40, make it 50, make it whatever you think.
255.
Nah. Okay. Anybody that's got a name that's 255 name characters, I don't want in my class. Okay? Because I'll never be able to do it right. All right. So now I'm going to go and say, what's their major? Actually, let me go back here, short text, and take a picture of that. Okay, now the third field I'm going to have is their major. And that's also going to be a short text field. And that's only going to be 2 characters. Because CI, BU, whatever our majors are, it's a 2-character code. So I'm going to put a 2-character code in there for major. Okay? Now I've decided I want to know the number of credits they've earned. So I'm calling this num credits. Notice there's no space in there. If I wanted to have it clear that it was two words, I could write num capital C on credits. Or I could write num underscore credits. But you want to avoid embedded spaces. Okay? Embedded spaces in a field are the worst thing that Microsoft ever came up with. Embedded spaces don't work in a lot of databases. They just plain don't work.
I beg to differ, Windows NT.
I said in a lot of. And I'm right. In a lot of, they don't work. Okay, so if you go along, a lot of languages, when they hit a space, think that's the end of the name. They just stop. Okay? So embedded spaces are dangerous things. So, in my classes at least, I do not want to see embedded spaces in field names. I do not want to see num space credits. Okay? And I'll probably send it back to you if you do it. So, do not make a name with embedded spaces. It causes headaches when you get further into languages. Access can get around it. They have a workaround. But if you have to learn the workaround in every language that you work with, it's a pain. If you just get rid of the idea of naming something with embedded spaces, life becomes so much easier. So, you might gather that I'm a fanatic on this subject, and I am. So, don't use them. Okay. So, number of credits is going to be a number field. And I'm making this a number. And then I came down and I'm picking integer as opposed to long integer. If I was talking about the national debt, I'd pick long integer. But I'm talking about the number of credits you learn here at the college. Short integer, small integer, or just plain integer will be fine. So I've got integer there. Okay. And then, whoops, I've got GPA. And my GPA is also going to be a number. And it is going to be what we call single, which means a small decimal. Single is a small decimal. Double is a big decimal. So single is a small decimal. So I want to pick GPA, make it a number, and make it a small decimal, single. Now what I'm doing there is I am telling the world what my records look like. Okay? I have a table here. So within the database, I have a table, which is also a file. Within the table, I have records, which also can be called rows. And within the records, I have fields, which can also be called columns. So I have here, my first field is an ID number. My next field is student name. My next field is major. My next field is num credits. And my next field is GPA. And that's my record. Okay, so that is a record or a row. Because when I have one record beneath another record beneath another record, they look like rows. Each of these individual things is a field. And when I have a bunch of them underneath each other, it looks like a column. So that's why they call it a column. I tend to call them records and fields, but rows and columns are another name for them. Okay? Questions? Okay, so in mine, I have these five fields. Now, here I have the ID number is going to be my primary key. And notice it's got a little key next to it up there that makes it a primary key. If you don't see that little key, you can actually click up here on primary key and get it. Okay? Primary key there. But Microsoft basically decides that probably your first field is the key, so it gives it a key symbol. Now the primary key uniquely identifies the record. There cannot be two things with the same primary key. There can't be two records with the same primary key. Your student ID is your primary key here at the college. Your social security number is your primary key in job-related things. They uniquely identify you. And this ID is going to uniquely identify the people on my table. Okay? So now what I'm going to do is I am going to start to put data in here. So there's a little toggle right beneath files. There's an icon, and it's a toggle. And when I first hit it, it says you must save the table, and I say yes. And then it brings up a place to enter the data. And if I click back on this, it gives me the view again, and this is a toggle that goes back and forth between the structure and the data. Structure, data. Somebody started to ask something.
I was going
to
ask you how you did that, but I figured it out.
Okay. So now I'm going to start putting in records. And you should start putting in records. So I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this person, guys, this person is Susan Ash. Major is CI. Number of credits, 34. GPA 3.9. Okay? So I have now entered in my first record. Yeah.
How did you make it like that?
I clicked over here on this toggle right underneath the word file. So if you click on the thing right underneath the word file, it's a toggle. It goes back and forth between structure and data entry.
Oh, there we go. Dashy.
Okay? So, now I want to enter a second record. So I tab down, and I enter 12121. And that's going to be John Costa with a CI major, 45 credits, 3.8. And then I come down, and 12345 is going to be Linda French, and she is a BU major, we'll say. And she has 33 credits and a GPA of 2.9. And then I go, and I just keep going and entering more people in. BU for business, OF for office, but make ends on off, it doesn't matter. You can have the ZZ major. Doesn't matter. Okay. So I put in a bunch of data. And if you look at this, you can see where the words rows and records came from. Because each record really looks like a row, and all the data underneath each other really looks like a column. So you can see where the words row and record came from, yeah.
So is it considered bad form to have an ID number 00000? or is...
No, I don't think so. I mean, some companies might. I pretty much said you're nothing if I give you an ID of 00000, somebody might think. So...
Fair enough. Well, I've heard it called bad form, so I was just asking.
No, I have no idea. Never occurred to me. I always think of giving a number. No, I just don't know.
Well, the thing is, I always consider 0000 to be technically like 1 since the first.
Okay. Yes, the computer will definitely has a lot of proponents of that. 0 is the first number when you're counting. Okay, questions?
This is where you can draw on the
start. So, you entered in some records? You got some data. So what I've got now is I've got the structure of a table and I've got data in the table. And it took 2 steps. I had to create the structure and then I had to put in the data. Questions? Okay, so now what we're going to look at is how to get information out of this table. If you have 100,000 records, and somebody asks you to go through and tell everybody that has a GPA higher than 3.5, you don't want to look at 100,000 records and check the GPA to see who's got greater than 3.5. So you do what we call a query, and we're going to look at that next. Before we do that, I'm going to close this table. So I'm clicking on the little X on the same line as the header, and it closes the table.
We don't have to hit save or anything?
No, it has done it. Magic happens. And there it is back. And then if I click on the X, it goes away again. Okay? So, now what I want to do is I want to create a query. A query is going to ask me information about the database, ask information, and find it. So I'm going to say, click on create up here. Next to file and home, I'm clicking on create. And then I'm clicking on query design. So I clicked on create, and then I'm clicking on query design. So once I click on query design, this is what I see.
I think I missed something.
Query and then query design.
Oh, yeah, but how do I...
Create and then query design.
Create, query design. Gotcha. Create.
Create, query design. Right, you're there. Okay, now in query design, it asks me what table I would like to use. Well, I only have one table, so I say add, and then I close. And I've got the one table sitting there. I'm going to pull this up so it's a little more visible. Okay, now what I do is I choose what data I want to see in the query. And let's say I want to see ID number, name, major, and GPA. Okay? So I can either click on this, double click on it, and it comes down. I can drag it down. Or I can come over to the field, click on the field where I want it to go. I get the little down arrow, click on that, and I can pick it. By the way, that little keyboard that keeps popping up has to do with SmartBoard. It has nothing to do with Access. It's just there to aggravate me. So ignore it, basically.
Yeah, it's visible. It's virtual keyboard, so you can click on it.
Yes. Only I don't want it. Okay. And now GPA is down. So I've got all of those things down. And notice what they did. They filled them in as these are the fields. And this is the table that goes with the fields. Okay, so now I have said I want to do a query and I want to see this information. So, I come over here under File and I click that little icon. And when I click that little icon under File, it will show me the results. and there are the results. I can see my ID number, my name, my major, and my GPA, not the number of courses. Okay. Now, let's say that I wanted a little more than that. I can go back to the view, and I can say I only want this when the GPA is greater than 3.5. So right under here, at the intersection between criteria and GPA, I type greater 3.5. The greater than symbol 3.5. That tells me that I only want to see records that have a GPA greater than 3.5. And it's put on the criteria line underneath the GPA. If it was on the criteria under the name, it would be looking for names greater than 3.5, which makes no sense. Okay? So it's looking under GPA. So now if I go and look at the results, I see that there were only two people that had a GPA greater than 3.5. So it's just showing me the records that had people greater than 3.5. And obviously, depending on the data you put in, you may be seeing different results.
Under show you put the greater than 3.5 or under sort?
I put it under GPA on the criteria line.
So you clicked off everything else but that one?
Mm-hmm. Say that again. What?
Clicked off everyone but GPA?
I want to show...
Show line. Okay,
quiet please. I want to show every record that meets the criteria of having a GPA greater than 3.5. If that record does not have a GPA greater than 3.5, I don't want to see that record. So I only want to show records where the GPA is greater than 3.5. And that is at the intersection between the criteria and the GPA. Okay, the intersection between criteria and GPA. Now what I wrote there was greater than 3.5. Okay. Okay, take a minute and find me, do a query to find all the CI majors. I want to see the CI majors. So write your own query that will show me CI majors. Going to do create and create a query, create query design, bring it down, and get CI majors. Okay, why don't you work on this?
I am, right there.
Yes, and I also see that.
Oh, sorry.
And then you won't get to create a whole query by yourself, and I thought it would be practical to create a whole query by
yourself. So do I even,
Are you autopilot at there? So you
I did.
Questions? Is it looking? Is this looking to you?
Why do I need to?
What was wrong?
I have no idea. I said remember this and that's right.
Do you have to picture them all though? That's right.
I'd love to see them.
I think I just closed out.
And went back in. But that's why I went up and tried it up online.
Because I thought that.
Then
okay.
I need the new directory, and I need that directory.
Oh, but you need. Yeah.
I have the folder inside the directory. I have all individually.
Oh, whatever magic you did, it worked, it worked. I still don't understand why the original didn't work. Questions? How many people have got a CI major list? Yes. Okay. All right. Did you notice that when you did CI, it put the CI in quotes?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to save this, and I'm going to call this greater than 3.5. So now I'm making... Hello? Oh, the point isn't allowed. Yes. Okay, so I did create, query design, edit, close, bring down the fields, and put in under major, I guess we want all the fields, put in under major CI. And this is one of those good things that Microsoft does on the whole. It immediately puts the quotes in for you. Why does it put it in quotes? Because it's a text field. It's a character field. And character fields have to be in quotes. Numbers should not be in quotes. And so any character field that I said was a short field and all that good stuff is going to be put in quotes. So it put it in quotes.
So once I've put down... okay. So once I put down a query, is it possible for me to edit it? Oh, wait, design view, never mind. Got
yes.
It. Thank you.
Anytime.
So I want to save, where do you go to save this particular query? That's like
you just say what it says save as, you give it a name, say okay, and it lists it over there under queries. If you click on the X, click on the little X over there. And then you can, it will prompt you to save it. You give it a name and it saves. Okay, on this one, whoops, I got a little carried away there. Okay, on this one, I'm going to do something a little different. Okay, I'm going to say ID number, name, major, number of credits, GPA. Okay, Karen, can you talk just for a minute, wait, because I want to make sure everybody hears this. In this example, I want to find all CI majors that have a GPA greater than 3.5. So I want two things in an and relationship. I want them to have a CI major and a GPA greater than 3.5. So on the criteria line, I put both CI and major greater than 3.5. And I put them both on the criteria line. And this will give me, when I look at it, it gives me CI majors with a GPA greater than 3.5. Now, if I go back and look at this, I've got two criteria. These are my criteria, and they're in an and relationship. So my first question, and this is a decision box. I'm making a decision flowchart, and this is a decision box. I'm saying major equals CI. And there's only two possible answers to that, yes or no. It equals CI or it doesn't equal CI. Computers are black and white. They don't deal with maybe, okay, unless you're in artificial intelligence. It's either CI or it's not CI.
Huh?
In which case, God help us.
So, the first question is the major CI? If I get a yes to that, I continue on and I ask, is the GPA greater than 3.5? And if I also get a yes to that, I display. So I will see the record in my list. If I don't get a yes, if the major CI for the GPA is 2, then I don't want to display them, and so I basically do nothing, which means that they do not display on my list. Do nothing means I just draw a straight line there. And then I join the yes and I join the no together to indicate that I'm done with that decision. Now I go back from decision. This says major equals CI. If it is, I do all that. If the major is not CI, I have nothing to do. I don't want to display. So I just go down and draw a straight line down, and then again close the yes of the major, which went through all of that, and close the no of the major, and close them up like that. That's called a decision flowchart, and it's a way of thinking through complex logic in a diagram way, if you're a visual person, before you put it into code. And this is an and relationship. One thing and another. CI and greater than